gorgeous inside and out when you shop.
Hola, hola, buenos días.
Good morning, buenos días.
This is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On KVON 1440, buenos días. Hey, it is Thursday. We got one more day till the beautiful weekend, or in a hot day today.
I know. We do have those fire weather watch warnings in effect, so make sure que todos se andan cuidando.
Yes.
And as always, we are live streaming on KVON.com, and we got our Instagram up. La hora 1440 KVON.
Well, I wanted to start off the show by saying that if none of you guys went to La Gala for Napa County Hispanic Network last Friday, you guys missed out on an awesome party, first of all.
Yes.
And then second of all, my girl gave a speech of a lifetime. So it was kind of weird because you went to go speak casi cuando certain people were getting up and they're like, no, sit down.
It's not over. I did notice that. It kind of seemed like
people were going.
People were getting up. They thought it was over, and it's like, no.
And then you're like halfway through. I don't know. I just remember looking at the clock, and I'm like, 8 minutes? Gosh, we've been here for eight. I've been recording for 8 minutes, and but
I know, I was giving it here. 3 to 5 minute speech.
Yeah.
That was my time frame.
It was like you can hear a pin drop. I mean, everyone was quiet. You had everyone's full attention. It was pretty awesome, Gabriela. So I'm very, very proud
of
you.
Muchas gracias.
Everything that was said, I think everyone felt it. And I'm sure you felt the love around the room, especially, you know, once you were done and then everyone was on their feet.
I did. Yeah. Everyone gave me a standing ovation, which was overwhelming to say the least, but obviously in like a positive way, right? I mean, I was really happy with my speech and with what I'd come up with, but I was not by any way expecting that kind of reaction. And it was really nice, especially because al final, you know, I had like Leon Garcia, the mayor of American Canyon,
yes,
his wife, Alfredo Pedrosa's boss, who unfortunately I can't remember his name right now, but he works for the city. And like, they were all coming up to me, like taking my number. They're like, this was amazing. I had students that, you know, got the scholarship that night. There were scholarship recipients coming up to me and telling me, oh my gosh, that just, you know, motivated me. And thank you for saying all the things that, you know, I feel on the inside, but, you know, we don't vocalize all the
yes
time. And I don't know, that's exactly what I wanted people to take away from that speech and from the message. So I was happy that the message was delivered in the way that I wanted it to be
and
delivered.
I think you did just that.
Empecé a llorar.
I know. I did hear your voice crack. And if you guys all missed it, we will have it on Facebook. It is a little long, so I don't know. Like, I don't want to cut it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we would probably have to look for a way to kind of just upload it and have it in its entirety online, because it was a moment you missed and you shouldn't have missed.
Yeah. So, I'm wondering maybe we can even put it on the KVON, KVYN webpage.
Oh, yeah, that's
under
true.
La Hora or something.
And
that'd be cool.
And so please stay tuned for that, because it was pretty awesome. So what kind of week have you been having, Gabriela?
It has been a roller coaster week for several reasons. But it's also been really fun. My boss is here in town visiting from Florida. And yesterday we had an awesome time after we got off work. First of all, we went to Boonfly for breakfast. So that was fantastic.
There you go.
And then we kind of had like an after hours tasting over at Larkmead after we got off work. So it was nice to
hang out.
I'd never been there. It was so much fun.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And
I
it was
do
gorgeous. And it was just us and just good conversation with our coworkers. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed it. But aside from that, again, you know, like, I've still been getting messages and things from people talking about the gala that happened on Friday. So it's nice. My roommate, she like came home home as soon as I got off, as soon as I was home from the event, and she had flowers waiting for me.
Oh, that's
She's
so
like,
sweet.
We're going to throw a little mini yes. party to celebrate. And I was like, you're so kind.
What time did you end up coming home? I left kind of immediately after.
I think I got home como a las diez y media.
Yeah.
Not too late.
Yeah.
I wanted to go out and celebrate, and I was like, we're going to get this going. And all my friends happened to be working. The ones that usually get off early, they were still working, and I was like, all right, God, I'm taking that as a sign that my booty needs to go home and call it a night.
That's so funny. I did have a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there dressed in the 30s. A lot of people that didn't dress 30s.
Which I was surprised. Yeah.
Because there was a lot of time invested. So, hey, everyone, when you get the opportunity and or you're invited to somewhere where you get to dress up the part. It makes the party a little bit more fun.
It does. And plus, I was admiring so many people's dresses. I was like, oh, my gosh, she nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There was a lot of really elegant dresses there, and I really, really love that. I loved the fact that there were 39 estudiantes that received $1,000 in scholarship.
And the money that was being raised left and right.
Yes,
that was
especially at the live auction. I was like, oh my goodness. There was that one point where, you know, two people matched each other at $7,000.
Yeah.
And so within like 2 minutes, we got $14,000 raised for next year. And I was like, this is why I love
yes.
this community, this organization, you know, everybody. I'm just like, yes.
I'm laughing.
The Latinos rising up.
I'm totally like laughing over here because there was at one point throughout the silent auction. No, excuse me, live auction that there was a there was an auction item of a ver cuánto dinero das para que se calle este. And they were actually raising funds for someone to be quiet. So I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to call him out on the air. So
that was like a spontaneous thing too.
Really,
and I think that raised more money than like an actual auction item, which I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
It was great.
So yes, next year, get your tickets in or get your ticket on early, because if not, you're going to miss it. So I really do appreciate the we did end up raising past our we were trying to raise $2,000. And even after the gala, our La Hora kind of campaign for the network ended up raising $1,250.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Way to go, gente.
Yes.
Shower. And shower. Shout out to everybody that, you know, donated and was a part of that. Like what we were saying in El Evento, you know, it's an investment in all of our kids' futures here throughout the valley. And education is really that piece that's going to take them forward and help them achieve their dreams. We got to support that.
No, I see. Oh my gosh, that was a beautiful dress, the white dress with pink flowers. That's still in my head.
One of the scholarship recipients.
Yes. Very, very awesome. So in our first segment, though, we wanted to talk about, you know, what came into a law. Governor Jerry Brown on Monday signed a bill to decriminalize other guns on sidewalk.
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome. I know for a lot of people that are like, well, I did hear some negative feedback. I'm just kind of like, you know what? Everyone deserves the right to hustle.
Exactly. Okay? And in California, where it's this expensive,
yes.
everybody has got a side hustle. And so why are we not? There was actually a quote that the guy, I'm trying to think of the name. It was actually Ricardo Lara. He's the one who introduced the legislation back in January. And he was quoted saying, you know, he said, with Senate Bill 946, which is the bill that, you know, is going to decriminalize this and legalize a lot of these street vendors selling food. He said, we can finally start seeing sidewalk vendors for who they are. They're women, they're seniors, they're single parents, they're micro business owners that are taking their first step to starting their own business. And that is the light that we need to see them in. So at the end of the day, everybody's just trying to hustle to make ends meet.
Yeah.
In whatever way, shape, or form they know how to.
One thing I am going to say, this is great news. Everyone's celebrating. Let's also not forget that there are, it's like any business. There are regulatory things that you still have to follow. And those are like food and safety laws. So para las personas que van a estar vendiendo después de esta nueva legislación, acuérdense, aunque es ley, aún hay reglas que hay que seguir por sea el condado o por sus ciudades.
Especially like health and safety concerns,
yes.
you know. which they did say, you know, this bill doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all now.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to follow all of those codes. It just makes it so that you're not going to get a criminal penalty anymore.
Correct.
For sidewalk vending. And people currently that have pending citations, they're allowed to go ahead and clear those, which I think is really great, because then you don't have anything on your record.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, see, and I do, if you remember, I want to say no more than 10 years ago or less, ¿cuántos vendedores había aquí en la ciudad? Like, there was a ton of them. And so,
y aún así, cada vez que voy al partido de fútbol de mi hermano or like my little nephews or nieces, it's just like, I'm looking for my elote, man. I was like, quiero mi mangoñada y quiero mi elote.
You know, it just made me look at it at a different light, because I'm like in food safety and all that stuff. And I get it. Everyone's sitting here trying to make a hustle. I love elotes. I love all that stuff. Los duritos and all that. You know, I totally love it, but I don't see them as much. I'm not going out looking for them. You know what I mean? And it's so really sad to see regulation sometimes is way too harsh, one for criminal. And then I'm going to tell you this, girlfriend. I went to sign up for some kind of contest, a food contest at one point here in this county. And the restrictions were so high.
Online.
I couldn't even do it.
You're like, this is too much of a stressful situation for me right now.
I couldn't do it. No, I couldn't do it, because it was just like, oh my gosh. I nomás quiero poner un puestecito so someone can taste. You know, it's a food contest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like.
But they're like, it has to be at this temperature. When you transport it here, it needs to be at this temperature.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was really off the chains back then. And so I hope that it's lightened up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that it can be.
The bill's supposed to make it a little bit. Just easier.
Yeah.
Easier. You know, obviously we still want to make sure, you know, that we're not growing bacteria in food because we're not keeping it at a temperature or a level that
right.
it needs to be at. But but no, it's just hopefully going to make things easier. Pero honestamente, like, yo también te voy a decir algo. And I'm not going to mention the name of the business, but I've been doing a couple events here and there for some people, you know, helping them cater and whatnot.
Okay.
And it blows my mind to see that we have, you know, all of these regulations and whatnot about food safety, todo lo demás. And I'm over here, like, helping out, and I'm just like, wow, if somebody from El Condado was here, I'm like, this thing would be shut down, like, right now.
Yeah.
But it's just
yeah.
like, if when you're, well, that's the sad part sometimes.
And
when
and
you're
you don't
legitimate
even,
business.
And you don't even know the laws, know, right?
Exactly. And I don't even know, but I just,
you know.
I'm like, I don't know if this is okay right now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, not my business, not my problem. I'm just helping.
You're like, yo no más soy la ayuda.
I'm the help.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you. But, I mean, you know, you're like, I don't even know what regulation that's in. I don't know what chapter, what section, whatever. And I know that's against the law.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that somebody would have a problem with this right now. But then because, you know, they're like a big business, it's almost like they don't get looked at as much. But then you have a street vendor, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, let me go check this out and see what I can get you on. You know, it's like, oh, I bet you could get a lot of people on a lot of things if you chose to focus on everybody instead of the person that's probably, you know, already struggling, and you just want to keep attacking them.
Do you remember the one someone had his stand y que le agarraron el carrito y se lo tiraron? Remember that?
I do. That's the kind of stuff that it's harassment.
It is.
Like,
I ended up going to, I want to say it was a convention out in Santa Rosa. Him and his parents weren't the keynote speakers, but they were speakers at the event, and it was just so eye-opening. I was looking at pictures the other day, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is pretty amazing that I took this picture with this guy, and mira nomás la legislación donde está. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're celebrating. It's unfortunate. I can't remember his name. It just came to mind right now. Okay, I was flipping through pictures. But yeah, I'm really excited for everyone. Es más, maybe remember our host or el visitante Hugo Nevarez from last week. We were even talking about like famous foods that, you know, are from each pueblo, and we see like churritos, duritos, and all this stuff. Okay, so from what region of Mexico is that from? And I think it's the entire Republica. Mm-hmm. But then when you start digging and finding like the good antojitos from every single state, there is so much food we have not tapped into. And in looking at the food from where he's from, Durango, he was talking about, you know, these certain kind of tacos that they have, or like burritos. And then he was also talking about these gorditas. And you think gorditas, and you're like, oh, jicamasa and all this stuff. No, girl. And it's just the sazon that goes inside, which I'm like, this is freaking eye-opening. I'm like, how many years have I been alive? And I don't even know all these different kinds and types of food, which is really, really amazing. So I think with this legislation, we're going to be able to see a bunch of different platters come out.
Yes.
Because
it's like little, I don't want to compare it, but it's going to remind me of like Mexico in a sort of way, because every time I go visit, I love that I can walk down the street and there's like little stands everywhere of all sorts of comida, just depending on whatever somebody's specialty is.
Yeah.
And again, this is going to be a way for familias to create a new form of income should they need it. So, mi gente, like if you're out there and you know of somebody that needs a side hustle that les gusta cocinar or whatever it is, let them know this is something they can now legally look into where they don't have to fear any type of criminalization. You know, a veces, I know we get scared. There was in that same article that I was reading where they passed this bill, they start talking about, you know, a veces, unfortunately, with that, when they get in trouble, there have been a couple of people who have been detained by Immigration, Customs and Enforcement. And that's unfortunate, too. Right. So we want to make sure que todos are staying safe. But at the same time, too, like, know tus derechos, what you're completely entitled to, and the fact that this is something that you can now do.
Yeah. A mí me encantaría que este, and you know, I've had this conversation with so many people about the whole rice and beans. That time is done. Like, I'm done of going. That's how everybody knows me. Like, oh, ¿qué vas a hacer de comer? Ah, rice and beans con algo. I'm like, no. Like, that does not define, like, when you say, oh, I'm going to go have Mexican, what did you have? Rice and beans. Own super burrito. Oh, I'm sorry. Super burritos do not exist in Mexico.
I'm going to be making cactus tacos. Son nopales.
Yes. I saw that on your Instagram. I was dying.
So I was like, this is so true.
And you know what I mean? I mean, esa era ya tiene que acabarse. Que no nomás es arroz y frijoles. But you know what? I do make a rice. I do make bomb rice. So anytime you guys want to come over to my house, me and my mama got you.
Thanks for the invitation, girl.
I did want to tap into, I know you were talking about, you know, about sabiendo sus derechos. And so, you know, once we start getting more information, I'm sure this is something that our county and our city officials are going to be tapping into. I know that also before there was kind of like this, I don't know, era ley, but basically they were saying like at what distance from another restaurant can you and cannot you do business.
Right.
You cannot do business from, you know what I mean? So yeah, I could see that happening where they have an ordinance. Pero también, you know, hay que tenerle consideración a ciertos lugares and being a little bit of sensitive to it.
Of course.
Because we're all in this together and we're not here to kind of like outdo or outrun everyone else.
Exactly. Pues claro.
You were talking about derechos. We were reading an article, myself and my son, about a serial killer border patrol.
What?
Yes. So they found allá por el lado de Laredo, they found...
¿Por el lado de dónde?
Laredo. Oh. Laredo, Texas.
Laredo, Texas.
Yes, it's a mouthful. Laredo. And oh my gosh, Latino.
Serial killer.
Yes.
Border patrol.
So right now they found four women que estaban muertas. And
I just got the chills.
Yeah. I believe that one of the victims escaped and was able to notify
law enforcement.
Yeah. And so what they were able to do is that they found out that his house was full of guns and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh God, I thought
so,
you were gonna say dead bodies.
No.
Literally about to vomit right here on the floor.
Y tenía familia and all this stuff, but completely like had so his house so stacked, like waiting for confrontation. So he knew what he was going to get himself into and what was going to happen. So what they ended up doing is they actually waited for him to get out of his truck or car or whatever and go to the restroom. And that's when they knocked on the door and like they arrested him. He still escaped, ran, hid under a car. So he was trying to have suicide by a cop happen by then. And that didn't happen. So they were able to get him into custody.
Good.
Yes. Because it could have been, yes, because it could have been even worse. And so, you know, given the climate,
only found out because that one girl escaped.
Yes,
that's the part that always just trips me out and, is I'm like, imagine all the all the craziness.
And there's more. And there's more. So there's a lot of other women that have been found, you know, deceased around the area. So they are investigating how maybe there's a possible connection there. They know of four as of now.
For sure.
That he's responsible for.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, you know, you find yourself in a... en una posición de por sí ya nuestra gente le tiene miedo for anything, you know, and at least here in Napa we're trying to create that like non-taboo de que law enforcement sí te está ayudando. Yesterday I saw it in action, and I'm going to go right into the two huge accidents that happened. There was one in downtown Napa which went on for like a block, two blocks, and I can't even piece it together how it even happened. A car went into a property, another car hit an air not Airbnb, but it was bed and breakfast, and another one crossed the street. So I don't understand. You know, it's kind of like we're living in a hurry, and you know what? Tomársela despacio.
Yep.
I mean, because if you're driving 50 miles per hour downtown, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong town.
I'm sorry, but that's me. Am I going to get in trouble because someone in law enforcement is going to listen to this? Can't get me on something you didn't see.
You're horrible.
I know. Maybe it's not 50 miles an hour like on First Street. Well, it depends on what side of First Street I'm on, to be honest. No.
Shame on you.
Be careful, you know.
I'm just saying that because I'm going to... with the new hotels that are coming in, we have people that come in from like metro areas and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're talking about crossing street, no crosswalks, not having no mercy.
Right.
They're crossing right between your car. And I had that happen while I was downtown. And I'm like, you know, I have to understand that esta gente viene de ciudades.
Los turistas.
Yeah, they're coming from cities that are like, oh my gosh, we need to get by. And they're like, you know, one, two cars are like, man, apúrate, déjame cruzar aquí en medio. And I'm like... And I'm sitting here like, use the crosswalk, people.
Do you remember when, like, there used to be a time here in Napa? Hace unos tiempos. No, I'm just kidding. When tourist season actually died down. And now I'm like, tourist season's all year.
Yeah, it does slow down a little bit, but I don't think it... I think it's more so like that middle piece between... como October, like end of October, middle of November. Because I feel like our town even gets flooded during Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm always seeing people here.
Well, even
here.
Like last year... Well, I was in Mexico like during December. But even when I came back in January, there was like... a ton of people still. And I was just like, usually around this time, it's supposed to be muerto, and it wasn't.
I know. And it's getting...
I mean, we see what's happening downtown, all of the hotels. Napa, downtown Napa is not what it was 5-10 years ago.
No,
I'll tell you that. It's completely changed.
Yeah. It's eye-opening. It's really eye-opening. But anyway, I want to, before I start getting into a different segment, and we'll talk about next week, we're going to talk about deportations on military veterans. I just wanted to tap into that next week. And if you are running late or just tuning in, this is La Hora with Isela
and Gabriela
tapped out. We have a great piece of conversaciones. I have to tell you, like, I'm super excited. Maria Villa Gomez is here, and she is waiting in the lobby. And I do have to tell you, she's the Dean, Language Arts, Educational Support, and Learning Technologies for Napa Valley College. I mean, tenemos una conversación bien interesante to talk to you about. Please, please, please stay tuned. Como les decimos, I want to say last week, 2 weeks ago, Latino, la herencia latina está aquí por tres meses. So a lot of people are celebrating.
Heritage Month.
And people are celebrating Latino
Month.
Heritage Month, and we're celebrating Latino Heritage Months. So hold on to your seat and please stay tuned. Hola, hola. Welcome back. This is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 a.m. You are running late because this is el segundo segmento of Conversaciones.
Mm-hmm.
And in our studio, because we are celebrating Latino Heritage Months, party is going on for 3 months.
3 meses.
Yes. I mean, in between, I know in between there's a couple other heritage months in there. I think Filipino, Filipino American, if I'm not mistaken, in October. Mm-hmm. So I do have to give it up to them. I know. And I'm like, we got to do something for them. So we will be inviting someone, I believe, from the American Canyon community, que nos dijeron que tenían ganas de venir. So,
there you go.
But para no perder momento, Maria Villa Gomez from Napa Valley College is here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yes. Gracias.
Powerhouse Latina.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, you sent over your bio. I'm like, holy smokes.
Okay, so I wasn't the only one that had that right. I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm just like, I'm in the presence of, like, a superwoman.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I know. I was sitting here. I'm like,
look who's talking, by the way. Oh, my gosh.
I sat there, and I was reading it. I was like, if I read this on the air, we will just spend the whole minute of conversaciones just reading it. And you know what? In honor of you, because I do not want to read it, I'd rather you just tell us who Maria Villa Gomez is and how you came about to this wonderful career that you have at Napa Valley College.
So, thank you for having me. Again.
Of course.
I'm so thrilled to be here in your company. Who am I? I'm just an ordinary person who had the desire to learn things and
yes.
help out and be in education. I spent 25 years in education in various capacities.
Girl, you look sick. You, what are you drinking?
She's 21.
She's
really good.
You know, and various capacities. I started out as an instructional assistant in the classroom yeah. when I was during my last year as a senior in high school. And
really?
Ever since then, I've been in education.
That's awesome.
So, yes, you know, in the classroom, in the office, teaching, and now an administrator. And so, yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean
that's okay.
Was it because you just like, I mean, you know, a lot of people like to be TAs when they're younger because they're like, oh, great, I don't have mm-hmm. to go to class. I can just help out these kids. But you purposely, you were like, education is what I want. This is how I'm going to get my foot in the door. Or where did that
yeah.
drive to
you know,
stick with
I,
education come
from? I don't know that I had that concrete sort of goal at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it ended, you know, it became that way. But in the moment, I think it was just, it felt right to be tutoring other mm-hmm. students, et cetera. You know, people see something in you and they're like, oh, I think you'd be great at this, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. So I don't know that I purposely said, this is where I want to be for the next 30 years. It just happened. And
right.
that
oh,
led,
awesome.
You know, from one role to the other, et cetera. And so that's kind of how I, you know, ended up where I'm at
mm-hmm.
because it just took me from one place to the next.
Yeah.
So Maria, I know that in part of your bio, you had said that in 2016, after all these years, that's only 3 years ago. Oh my gosh. You joined the administrative team for Napa Valley College.
I did.
And
yes, I went into the dark side, as some might say.
Why is it called the dark side?
You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out, too, because I used to be one of the ones that would call that, too, because that was a rumor. But I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And I think that it has the potential of making such a big difference
mm-hmm.
in policy and procedures and processes
yeah.
and in doing what's best for our students,
mm-hmm.
primarily, doing what's best, you know, for our community. So I absolutely love being an administrator.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to the 2016, how you joined
yes.
the dark side, excuse me. But when it's due, I like always saying when there's first Mexican American or first Mexicana for anything. And so you became the first Mexican American academic dean. So muchas, muchas felicidades.
That is
fantastic
the
achievement, honestly.
Yeah.
Now, in that happening, did you see like there was a different shift into things, or how did you feel like, you know, your work had changed there? You're like, I got to step this up, or maybe, you know what, we're not going to go into this automatic change. Let's kind of write it out a little bit and see how things go.
You know, it just happened. I had held various leadership positions on campus that were not administrative related. You know, I became a program coordinator, about 10 years ago and managed the Modern Languages Department at NVC, and later on became very involved with the Faculty Senate
mm-hmm.
and the Leadership Board. board on the Senate, then became, went into the union side of the Faculty Association, became grievance officer, first VP, president of the union. That was interesting. And then, you know, it just, it was a natural sort of progression mm-hmm. to go from leadership positions on the faculty side of the House into division chair of the language arts division, and then from there dean of instruction mm-hmm. which is where I started a year and a half, almost 2 years ago actually, and now my current role running the library, running distance education for Napa Valley College, and again the language arts division. So a natural progression.
And that's including, you know, like all of the outside committees she's involved with. Because in your bio, I saw, you know, the Napa County Chamber of Commerce, the Napa County Hispanic Network. Mm-hmm. I saw that you translated children's books about self-esteem into Spanish, how to raise, you know, bilingual children for parents. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there reading this bio again, just like you said, I said earlier, and I'm just like, is there anything this wonderful mujer hasn't done? Like, she's literally helping out the entire community in every aspect possible.
You know, thank you. I do what I can. I have taken a little bit of a break from being super involved in the community in the last few years because I had a child. And and he's going to be 5. So, he's becoming, at the age where I could kind of start going back into the community. Yep. But I was involved with the Napa County Hispanic Network since I was a senior in high school, actually.
Wow.
I used to help them sell tickets for the gala event every year. And then I became a board member and mm-hmm. stuff like that. A bit limited connection to the Chamber of Commerce. A few years ago, I launched an online services, translating services, mini firm called Spanish Language Consulting, which is from where I got the gigs to translate the books and to become the Spanish consultant for Nina's World, which is Universal Kids television show.
That's cool.
That was amazing, where I got to actually work with Rita Moreno, and that was
a
highlight. So,
gasp. I heard you gasp.
We are in our second season. We just finalized our second season of Nina's World, and it should be live, sometime soon.
I'm excited. Can you send us a link, and then we can actually upload it to Instagram and also Facebook?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful little show for pre-K, K, kids that is nonviolent. It highlights diversity. We have actually on the show, we have a little kid who is deaf, and he does sign language. It's just amazing. And, we have a Colombian, a little kid from Colombia, and then, of course, Nina, who is Mexican American, and Rita Moreno plays her grandmother, and it's just adorable.
Oh my gosh, shows like that we need way more of, but to really make you appreciate the people that are behind them that want to create that conversation, because we don't get shows like that that are that diverse, and the fact that you mentioned that there's a character on there that is deaf and does sign language, people don't think about that every day, and it's nice to be like, this is the world that we live in, and let's be accepting and loving and accommodating. And
absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, please share, please, Maria, because those, like you said, and this is perfect for your son.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it is so perfect for him. And he actually 2 years ago, he doesn't know that, he doesn't appreciate that yet, but he will. He was the first one to watch some of those episodes because I had access to them. Mm-hmm. So it was awesome.
That's really cool.
Jinx, we were just playing this Jinx game at home, and now, from Jinx Yomio Soda, it turned into a Subway sandwich. So somehow, vamos progresando into bigger things, right?
Something I like to say here, you've been talking about how everything's just slowly progressed into every role that you've kind of taken on, but we really love to, talk to, when we're having conversaciones with our guests, to be like, ¿cuándo se te prendió el foco? That light bulb moment when you were like, this is what I want to dedicate my path to, mm-hmm. whether it was your upbringing, someone in your family inspired you to be this way, or was there a moment in your life where you knew, this is where I'm going to dedicate my time?
You know, I've been searching for that, for that one event, and it really has. It didn't happen that way for me. I wish I could say, yes, it was this one person, it was this one event that led me to this commitment, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it was more the everyday thing, you know, the everyday happening in my life, the living in my culture every day, you know, speaking the language every day, having, you know, conversations with family members and friends about my childhood and my grandmother and her influence and my mother and my aunts, et cetera. It was just an everyday kind of thing that evolved into just deciding to contribute in the way that I knew best. And that's kind of how it ended up happening for me. You know, there wasn't one thing or one person. It was a collective sort of movement, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
We're having some technical difficulties in the studio right now.
Yeah, I know. So our mic gave out like midway there. So I'm very, very sorry for that.
At least our guest mic is working.
No. Yes.
I know.
You can probably pick her up on my mic over here, so it's quite all right. Oh my goodness. Okay, so Maria, what do you think is next? Like, what do you see yourself doing here? What are the next steps for you? Because I know that you said you had taken I'm going to take a little bit slower porque mi hijo, and kind of give him that opportunity to have that me time with you.
Right.
So, like I've always said, first 5 years are the most important.
Yes.
Pero no hay que olvidarlos después de los cinco años. Because someone
They'll
said,
need us
okay,
life.
And then what?
Yeah,
I'm like, you keep it going, you know? But I did want to talk about, like, ¿qué sigue después de aquí? What could we expect?
Well, you know, I think that I would like to be open to what the universe brings to me. And being in the right place at the right time, I think, and being prepared for opportunities will be a good thing for me. So what I can do right now is commit to improving every single day in all aspects of my life. In case an opportunity comes along, I will be prepared for that. So I'm open to what the universe brings to me. You know, I have a connection with, we all grow Latina, or we all grow together. It's a change makers, collective online environment of Latinas across the country who are influencers their business, their entrepreneurs, etc. And maybe that will take me somewhere. You know, I have a blog, and I work every day at school looking for opportunities and leadership opportunities. And you know, one thing about me is I've taken advantage of every opportunity that's come my way.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so I don't want to lock myself into this is what I want to do. I want to be open and prepared for what the world comes and offers me.
One of the conversations we had last week, I do remember you saying about your blog and how we have to have our escape kind of. Tenemos que respirar. Okay, we're always working. We need to give ourselves a space, a venting area. So what have you done? I know I wanted you to kind of talk about that. And you actually inspired one of your good friends that also works at, you know, MVLA. So I'm kind of like, I was really, really inspired by what you're trying to get her to do and kind of have that space. So
yeah. Well, you know, I realized when I went into admin that I needed an outlet to express myself. And so the way that I did that was through the blog, and it has been extremely healthy for me psychologically and emotionally to express myself. And there are many reasons why I'm doing that. It's also for, you know, for my own emotional well-being, but also because I want to put my ideas and thoughts out there into the universe because they're positive ideas. There
right.
are positive yeah. emotions, and they're real and they're authentic. And I want that out there in the world because I think we need more of that. And I also want my son, when he grows older, to be able to, you know, read what and learn about who I am.
That's awesome.
And
your own growth period.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, how you navigated life as a young adult, when he came in, right. Everything.
Yes, because it captures the essence of the of the emotions at the moment.
Right.
You know, it's like we can't write about, we can write about things 10 years later, but if you write about it right there and then when you're feeling it, when you're thinking it, it's I think more, much more powerful. That blog has led me to meeting important folks in my life right now. One really important person that I want to mention is Maritere Bellas. She is a Latina author, award-winning book author, and she invited me when she read about she read some article or some blog post or whatever, and she invited me to share my story. And my story was published in her book.
What?
Yeah. Chapter 2 of Arroz con Pollo and Apple Pie.
I did see that on your bio. I'm telling you, everything was on her bio.
And you know, it just came to me, had I not put myself out there via the blog or via some article that was written, she would not have known about me.
Right.
And I would not have been able to take advantage of that opportunity,
of course,
for example. And so that was amazing. And again, that story is there for my son to read it when he's older and learn about me.
That's really, really exciting. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I really love that. And I think one of the biggest things that you hit on earlier that I always really appreciate is when you said you've always taken advantage of every opportunity that's come your way. That is the biggest thing. And actually something I think that I mentioned during the speech at the gala is we have enough obstacles and challenges that enter our life. The last thing we need to do is make ourselves that obstacle. And like, even if you don't know how to do something, like I remember when Isela was just like, come do this show with me. Come co-host with me. I was like, I don't know how to be
like,
on the radio. I was you know. But again, like, one, it's fun. It's our little outlet that we get, you know, from our everyday life. Thursday mornings at 9, like, I know I'm going to have a good time for an hour, and that's time that I dedicate to me and Isela and just doing what we love to do and giving back to the community. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, even if you don't know something, you can learn it. You can ask people questions. Like, you can research. There's an abundance of opportunities, and you don't want to be, just because you don't know how to do something or you're scared or you don't know how to navigate, that's the last thing you need to worry about. The first thing you need to worry about is saying yes and then figuring out, okay, what did I just say yes to, and how do and how am I going to get through this?
Yeah, we talked about, I think in another segment of Conversaciones, we were talking about putting ourselves in really uncomfortable positions. Mm-hmm. And if you put yourself in uncomfortable positions where you're not, I know everyone wishes to be in their comfort zone at all times, but once you step out, it gives you that ability to say, oh my gosh, si no lo hubiera hecho, no me hubieran visto, they wouldn't have seen my blog. So, and you identify that. If should I have never written this at this time, she would have never known.
It's almost like you,
I would have never been chapter two.
Right, absolutely. Well, and you know, I decided to, one night I decided to launch my Spanish language consulting, just one night, because I kept getting, because I'm bilingual and I have, you know, have a history of translating and interpreting, etc. People would come to me and say, can you do this for free? Can you, we need your help. And while I did a lot of that for free, I thought to myself, you know what? We need to value our skills much more than this. And I decided to start charging via the firm.
There's that California side
hustle. I'm telling you, that's the story of my life. Yeah. I'm like listening to this. And see, me dio hasta vergüenza a little bit at one point when I started charging, and they're like, then all of a sudden, the invitations stopped coming.
Yeah.
That was the sad part.
Transition period,
and it was a
right?
transition where she was doing it for free for so long, and now she's charging. Okay, we won't ask her anymore.
Yeah. I'm like, people don't understand, like, yes, you want to help and give back, but then when it becomes a thing where it's almost at a certain point like an expectation, and then it's like, I'm taking my precious and value time to help you, the least you could do, especially if someone in particular consistently continues coming to you, it's like, okay, let's, even if it's bartering, maybe it's not even cash, maybe you're thinking of something else, but, you know, respecting you enough as the person that's helping them to also compensate you in an appropriate
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely, and one of the main reasons I did it too is because I wanted to teach my students, having taught Spanish Spanish for over 16 years, I wanted to teach my students that bilingual skills were valuable, mm-hmm. and that they could make a living mm-hmm. out of studying or majoring in Spanish, for example. And so I became charging. That led me to creating a LinkedIn page that, you know, I think I'd love to tell my LinkedIn story, because I think that we don't give it as much attention as we probably should. The producers for Universal Studios found me via LinkedIn, and that's where I got the invitation to become the Spanish consultant for the show.
Wow.
They just found me there. Like, they Googled, and that came up. My LinkedIn profile came up. She called me. We exchanged, you know, they interviewed me, et cetera. And I love to tell my LinkedIn story, because people underestimate LinkedIn a lot.
Yeah. I would say I'd be one of them. I just kind of update it here and there.
Right, but one notice, thing led to the other.
How, the last time I updated mine, it's been a while.
Yeah, and I have to admit that when I did do something different to it, then there was attention that went to it. And it's a good attention. It's a professional attention. Yeah.
Well, if I had not, launched Spanish Language Consultant and updated my LinkedIn profile or even created it, I would not have gotten that opportunity with Universal Studios, for mm-hmm. example. Okay. I would have never met Rita Moreno. I would have never been part of the show.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, and so
uncomfortable places, people.
Yes.
Wonderful places.
Yes. Yeah, they do. I hate to have to close our conversaciones piece, but Maria, like I tell all of our guests, that you are always welcome. Nuestra casa es su casa. And so we always want to open those doors and keep that invitation open. Should you have any events or things that are coming up at Napa Valley College you think or feel that our community needs to know, feel free to shoot them our way. Or if you want some airtime, let us know.
That's great. Yeah. You know, we do have a gallery exhibit right now in the Napa Valley College Library in celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month or Herencia Latina. And so we invite everyone to come check it out. It's going to be there for 4 weeks.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good 4 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Gracias. Yes. It's been a blast.
So if you are just tuning in, qué tristeza, ¿eh? Qué tristeza. You're late. So we just had conversaciones with Maria
Villa Gomez.
And she had an amazing story. And unfortunately, you missed it. So you're going to have to hear the replay on our Facebook Live. So feel free to tune in there. And then also we'll have a link to Gabriela's awesome speech from La Gala.
Yeah, I know.
Napa County Network. So we wanted to. Yeah.
Para que se inspiren.
You know what? Una inspiración. Un empujoncito. But anyhow, so we are going to jump into our commercial break. Stay tuned for local events for Latino Heritage Months. Hola, hola. Welcome back. And we're going to run through our Latino Heritage Month events for this weekend. I did want to tell you that I know there was annual fiesta en El Molino at the Bale. I heard it was really, really good. There was mariachi. There was music. There was good eats. Oh, my goodness. I totally missed out. Unfortunately, ended up celebrating my father's birthday that day, because I know it was yesterday, pero de todos modos, antier, perdón. And we ended up having his little get together. So I didn't do very much this weekend. Also, I do want to mention something super important. So Coco the movie in the park, it will be in Yountville, the town of Yountville. There will be, on that Friday, va a haber Conjunto Picante. So they're going to be playing from 5:45 p.m. to 6:45 p.m. And also, can you believe this, Gabriela? There's going to be salsa instruction from 6 to 6:30. And then, claro, cuando el sol ya se meta, we will be watching Coco. And also, lastly, there's a 14th annual health and wellness fair. It's la, how do you even say that? 14th.
14th?
Yeah, en español. Anyway, 14th, la Feria Anual de Salud.
El 14 anual.
So, ya se nos fue María y María no supiera haber dicho. Anyways, it will be at 9:23. That will be September 23rd, 10 a.m. It's free health screenings. Hey! So please look at the Napa County Hispanic Network. I believe there's a calendar online. You can reach them on Facebook, and it will tell you locations.
Love it, love it, love it. And this isn't necessarily around Latino Heritage Month, but I do always like to mention, today is Third Thursday, so starting at 5 p.m., they're going to have a live live band out at the Oxbow Commons. Por todos los que quieren eat and enjoy, listen to some live music. You can always take, you know, a nice little picnic out there with some blankets. Have a nice little afternoon to yourself. Maybe some bubbly. That'd be pretty great. Yeah, that's all I got on my end.
And of course, our dicho of the week to conclude our show. Si no puedo hacer grandes cosas, puedo hacer muchas cosas pequeñas de manera excelente. Martin Luther King.
If I cannot do great things, I can do many small things in great ways.
Y pues claro, esto concluye nuestro show de la hora con Isela
y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM, como siempre, es un gran placer estar con ustedes. And unfortunately, please stay cool. Today's going to be very, very warm. And also there is that weather advisory that will take effect from yesterday in the evening through Thursday afternoon for gusty offshore winds and low humidity. So please keep an eye out y manténgase hidratados, okay? Fue un gran placer y nos vemos hasta la siguiente.
See you next Thursday.
Bye-bye.